Laura Greaves writes in her book, Dogs with Jobs, "She may be little, but Molly has a big job to do." The Tyler's Terrier is believed to be the only assistance dog in Australia doing two distinct jobs, diabetes alert and mental health support, for two different owners. She has changed the lives of her young owners, twins Hannah and Olivia Weber. Hello and welcome to Animates, bringing you stories about animals and how we connect with them. The program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Shimon Parker. Today we have an interview with Adrian Cottle, who is Hannah, Olivia and Molly's mum. Though she be but little, she is fierce. So wrote William Shakespeare in his beloved comedy, A Midsummer Night's Dream. He was referring to the character of Hermia, whose diminutive size belies her high-spirited and feisty temperament. But the line could just as easily be applied to scrappy Australian silky terrier called Molly, and indeed 10-year-olds Hannah and Olivia Weber, the diabetic identical twin sisters whose lives little Molly has repeatedly saved. So reads the opening paragraph in Laura Greaves' book, Dogs with Jobs, on the chapter dedicated to the subject of our interview today, Molly Polly, diabetes, alert and mental support dog. We are lucky today to be chatting with Hannah and Olivia's mum, Adrian Cottle, whose dedication to the health and happiness of her daughters has blessed their lives with Molly. Hello, Adrian. Welcome to Animates and thank you for joining us to have a chat about Molly and her place in your family.
Well, firstly, thanks for inviting me on.
Could you please give us a definition and description of type 1 diabetes and how that condition specifically affects your twins, Hannah and Olivia?
Diabetes, type 1, is an autoimmune disease where the body attacks the pancreas so it can no longer produce insulin. It has nothing to do with diet. It has something to do with genetics and environment, but they haven't quite decoded it yet. So it means that every time my children eat carbohydrates, they have to have insulin to match it.
So how and when did you discover that Hannah and Olivia had diabetes?
I first discovered Hannah had diabetes when she was 2. I'm a registered nurse, so I was like going, my child's not gaining weight and my child's, you know, squealing when after she's had sugar and she's drinking heaps, even though it's summer. She drank 3 litres of water one day when she was 2, and she was toilet training, so she was going to the toilet a lot. So I actually held off, I'm very naughty, held off until my GP came back because my child was so well I didn't think the hospital would believe me. So yes. It was me. I told the doctor tested for it, and yes, she was then diagnosed with type 1.
Okay, and that was at the age of 2,
is that 2, right? Yeah. And Olivia, so Olivia was 6.5. We had put Olivia on a high vitamin D omega-3 program so that we could reduce her time of having diabetes, because at the age of 2 she also had positive markers, and so we were really lucky and held off 4 years before she developed type 1 diabetes.
Okay, so, right, so there was obviously a gap between Olivia's diagnosis and Hannah's. How did Hannah's diagnosis affect Olivia?
Well, my poor Olivia, she developed anxiety and PTSD. It first started when Hannah got sent to hospital for when she was diagnosed and Olivia got sent home. Poor Olivia thought that her twin had died, so she was very, very distressed. Also, Hannah would have severe hypos, and this would distress Olivia a lot because she actually feels Hannah's hypos. And also Hannah, when Hannah was 2¾, she had to be resuscitated from a pump site infection. That's an insulin pump. And so Olivia was on the resus bed with her and wheeled Hannah back to life. So it really has affected Olivia.
That's understandable, isn't it? Poor little thing. Now, how did you find Molly and how did you know that she would be suitable for the big job she had ahead of her?
Okay, so I'd read numerous times that you could get diabetic alert dogs, and because Hannah is hypo unaware because of her young age of developing diabetes. I really needed some assistance because at night Hannah would have some horrible, horrible hypos and I was just petrified I wouldn't wake up in time to get to them. So I rang agencies in Australia and we got rejected or they didn't have dogs. So I was set about doing it myself. And we had a Silky Terrier in the past and I happened to see a lady who has Silkies and I happened to say, next time you breed, can you please, you know, give us a pop?
Do Australian Silky Terriers have an aptitude for health alert or assistance work?
Well, I happen to have a Silky in the past, so I know that they're incredibly determined, very loyal, very hardy. They're also a compact dog. They don't molt, so they're low allergenic, and most of the time they have a happy disposition. So I thought, this might really work. As for health alerting, any dog that can be food motivated and scent trained is really good at alerting. Doesn't have to be a Labrador.
So, and I'd imagine that stubborn streak in Australian Silkies is useful for this kind of work?
Definitely. So it means that she will keep alerting and alerting until I do something about it. So she just won't give up and walk away. She'll keep going. She'll make sure that I know that my child is not well. So yes, they're very stubborn, which is a brilliant trait for this kind of work.
When you were originally considering Australian Silkies, the advice you got was that could be a problem, didn't you?
Yes, I was told don't put terriers with little children. But I guess if you socialise them really well, they're fine. They're happy to be part of your family. You just have to make sure that the dog chooses your family, not the other way around.
Was that the case with Molly? Did you choose Molly or did she choose you?
There were six pups in the litter and I wanted a female just because I had one in the past and I thought, oh, they're probably more mummy instinct. And Molly chose my girl repeatedly. Every time we came to visit, Molly chose them. She wanted to be manhandled by my children.
That's always a positive sign, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Especially when they're five-year-olds. And the name Molly Polly came because two five-year-olds named her. Yes, I think it was better than Sparkles.
Yes, I think Molly won out there on that one. Now, what's a typical day in the life of your family and your family with Molly?
Okay, a typical day, it starts at, Molly kind of is a bit of a teenager. She likes to sleep in. but the rest of the family have to hop up and get ready for school. And the minute she hears the bags clicking and everything ready, she's alert, races to the door to get her vest on and off to school she goes. She absolutely loves school more than my kids. She thinks school is the best thing on earth because all the children there, she just loves people. So Molly calms anxiety whilst at school and alert and generally calms the class down. And
what technique does Molly use to calm down the girls and, yeah, just generally, how do they do that?
Okay, so Molly specifically calms my children by she comes up to them if they're very distressed or having an anxiety attack. She'll circle them until they're calm enough to come in and then they pat her or she licks their cheek and really calms them down. As for the class, because I don't think parents would appreciate Molly licking their children, she comes, when they're upset, she goes up to them and she sits with them and I've watched them, they sneakily pat her. And the teachers all like to have a pat. And Molly actually goes to people, especially when they're stressed, to, you know, get a pat. It calms everybody down.
Could you send Molly over to my place for a while?
I think my girls might be a little bit upset.
Yeah, I think she's got a more important job to do there.
So then she comes home and Molly's on duty 24/7, but she quite often comes home and she's really tired, so she gets her own space and has a nap. But usually around dinner time, she's back brightly. And if the girls in that time have a hypo, she'll come and get me to let me know. Overnight, she sleeps in my room and my children sleep in the room above. So you think, how does that work? The dogs have the best sense of smell. Mm. So when my children are starting to go low, she'll wake me up in the night for me to go get them and sort out their hypo. Also, if they're high, she'll also wake me up they're on CGMs, which is continuous glucose monitors at the moment. And if it's alarming and I've slept through the alarm, she'll wake me up. And if I'm in a deep sleep, she taught herself this, she'll actually obstruct my breathing. So I actually wake up. She'll actually block, put her tongue across my nose so I can't inhale. So then I wake up and then I'm like, oh my gosh, oh, my girl's in trouble. So she's taught herself this.
There's that stubborn streak coming through, isn't it?
Oh, and that, yeah, terrier intuition to try and, you know, make it work.
Yeah, yeah. So to what range can Molly pick up a hypo with the girls?
They say it's up to 1K. I don't know, but we can be in different rooms and we can be having a barbecue and there's all these amazing smells and they're in another section of the house and she can still tell me.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, that's,
yeah.
Wow, what an acute sense of smell. It's very impressive.
Yeah, so they sleep in the room above and I was always really worried about this, but she definitely lets me know. So that's why she sleeps in my room so I wake up. I thought it would be the other way around, but no, she's like, I'm in here to tell you to get up to those kids.
Did you ever encounter any obstacles to Molly gaining access, not just to school but to any other place where the girls need to spend time?
Okay, when we first started training her, because she's an exception to the rule, she's like one of the first little dogs to go to school with twins and also have dual responsibilities. So the school was actually pretty good, but we found our local community really, really struggled because she wasn't a Labrador. And especially when part of her training is that we couldn't have the girls with us to do her public access training so that she was actually concentrating on purely doing public access and not hypo-alerting. So people were like, oh, well, some shop owners were like, she can't come in unless the girls are with you. And we're like, no, she's training. And then other people are like, she's not a Labrador, so she can't come in here. So we still encounter access issues.
Even with her vest on?
Oh, definitely. Wow. Yeah. So our local community is really accepting and the general public is pretty good, but we still get random people who refuse a service. So, yes, recently we were in Melbourne and a restaurant refused to serve us and asked us to leave.
Wow, seems to be an indication there that we need some more education around that, just public education.
Yes. Yeah, so we do a lot of education about it. And so does MindDog, the organisation she belongs to.
How do you train a dog to perform two such critically important jobs, you know, the diabetes alert plus the psychiatric assistance? Where did you start? How did you start?
So basically we let Molly be a puppy. She was allowed to be, how can I put it, a scallywag. So she bit people's toes and ripped up the carpet, our brand new carpet. So yes, we told her not to do things like that. But we let her be a puppy. My children made obstacle courses for her. So she would jump through obstacles. And she thought it was a fantastic life. She also had to, unfortunately, visit the Barbie car and the Barbie house. But she was really, let the girls do it. She was really pleasant about it. And so her training started with just general socialization. We did no puppy school, and the reason was my choice, but also the fact that if you want a medical alert dog, you've got to be really careful that you teach medical alerting first and then obedience.
Why is that?
So, because obedience training first will mean that your dog won't break hold or break position to alert.
Ah, yes.
So the thing that you've trained this dog to do is to alert. So you need it to, that's the number one key that this dog has to do. So it means that she, if I tell her to sit and my girl's in trouble, she's not going to sit. And so that's why she needs to be stubborn, determined and break hold and say, no, listen to me, your child is sick.
It's kind of a controlled disobedience.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. So how do we go about training for diabetes? She had a natural instinct. She picked up one of my children is in an ambulance at 4 a.m. in the morning because they had a virus and had high blood sugars and ketones. And after that, I went, oh, my gosh, we really need to get her seriously trained. We also exposed her a lot to diabetes, so it wasn't something that was scary to her. So she got to see and smell the strips and the girls' finger pricking and all of those things. So I Googled online and came up with Diabetic Alert Dog University, which is a program from the US, and that's how we started our training.
And how long does it take to
train? It's a 10-week course, and Molly started alerting about week five, week six.
And so for the assistance component of her training?
It's all in your own time, and it's video clips. And you, the first video clip is free, and then you pay for each video clip after that, and it's a very reasonably priced. So the anxiety training, she taught herself. She's very smart. She was like, do I listen to this kid scream and scream and scream, or do I sort this out? So she would sort it out.
I understand you receive support from Mind Dogs.
So for the public access training, we receive support from Mind Dogs. That's an Australian organisation, and so they have a brilliant program which is about people with mental health issues to train their own dog and bond with their dog, and their dog helps them access the community. And so the dog and the person works in, the handler works in partnership, so it's all about empowering the handler and training the dog. So that is their program. They have an Facebook page that helps. They also have booklets, and you can also call up or send in emails, and they help you to meet. They also give you the requirements that you need to meet, and so they basically help you either long distance, or you might have a local trainer that they work with to be able to do it.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Is she on duty 24/7? Is that?
Yes, she is, and that's something that she chooses.
Yeah.
So this is her family, so she's part of the pack. And so she really wants to be a pack member, and so she'll let me know all the time. We had better results in school holidays and weekends because school is tiring.
And I can understand why she sleeps in the morning. With it's a huge workload.
She loves her workload.
Thank you again, Adrian. It has been a delight chatting with you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
You have been listening to Animates. The program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Animates was created by Joe Van Kool. Our technical producer is Katie Brooks, research by Joseph Schwanzer, and I'm Shimon Parker. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates.